Okay, so I want to share with you Mindfield Mayhem. How does that sound? Mayhem is like chaos, confusion. Don't know if you've ever experienced this, but I've experienced this a few times in my life. It's like everything was wonderful, things were going quite well, you were having a jolly good time, and at some stage it's just like, it's like you walked into a minefield. It's not like one thing went wrong. It's like a few. And then the one hits you, and then the next one hits you, and then the next one hits you. And you're so confused. You're wondering what's going on, what's happening in my life. And so confusion sets in. You know, and I remember those times in my life, it's like you're really struggling to figure out what's going on here. Is God still good? Is God still with me? And if you could look at my heart, and if my heart was like a man's body, then you'll see my one foot has been blown off and the other arm has been blown off and I've taken some shrapnel through here and it's hurting. It's really hurting. Anybody experienced that before? Okay. The older you get, guys, you'll find out. With age comes minefields. But minefield mayhem, it's like you don't know what to do with this thing because he's like asking, where is God in this confusion? And so I want to bring some clarity tonight about these minefield times. You know, and so often we feel disappointed. So often we feel offended, hurt, wounded. It can happen so easily. And we can actually start thinking, well, maybe God doesn't even exist. Or maybe God just, he just dropped me. He just failed me. And so I would like to bring some clarity around this topic. But let me first, about this thing about disappointment. Acts 13:22. I shared the bit at the camp last week about this. But it speaks about David. It speaks about the will of God. And it says there, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. Can you say that? Do all my will. Okay, do all my will. God was so excited. I found him. I've been looking around. I've been searching through all of Israel. I found a young man. And he so blesses me because he is the one who wants to do my will. He wants to do all my will. And so I've often, so one of the reasons we sometimes find ourselves in a minefield is you have the good road, the will of God. It's a wonderful road. It's a, there are challenges on this road, but it's a good road. And then sometimes we find ourselves outside of the will of God. And then we're wondering, but what's happening here? But we have strayed off the good road and we've strayed into the minefield. And so the mines are going off and we're saying, but God, how can you do that to me? And he's saying, I didn't. It wasn't my will for you. That wasn't, I didn't plan that for you. I've made my perfect road for you here. Just come back to that good road. But so David was a man who, in everything, he wanted to do the will of God. He didn't only want a good road. He was like, God, I want all of your good road. I want all of your goodness. How do many of us live? We choose a road. And we want God to get onto our road. And then we're wondering why things aren't working so well. When he's actually saying, excuse me, here's my road. Come to my road. Okay, so the will of God is so important. I read this book about a guy about 10 years ago. He received, while in church, he received a picture, or what is called of a vision, but he saw a picture in his mind's eye. And he saw a big pipe. And he saw oil running in this pipe, but only a trickle. It was the anointing oil, or the presence of God, or the goodness of God, or the fullness of God. But he says there was only a little trickle running through his pipe. And he's saying, God, why is this? There's all this capacity for so much of you. But why is only a little bit, a little trickle running through this pipe? And so the Lord showed him in this vision, he showed him these valves on the side, valves, lots of valves. And these were all closed up. And then God spoke to him and said, that's all your no's. Every time you say no to my will, you close it. Every time you say no, you close it again. Every time you say no, you close it again. Does God love him? Yes. Is God for him? Yes. But God can only give him so much because he had so many no's. How many no's do you have for God? No, Lord, I'm busy. No, Lord, I can't do that. No, Lord, don't want to do that. No. Oh, God, please not Africa, somewhere deep in Africa. No. And the amazing thing is this guy said when he removed the no's, God started to move in his life like never before. He was a journalist and he always thought he's just the back of the scenes guy. You know, he's not the preacher guy. And God in the last 10 years have taken him all over the world, done awesome things through him, but he had to remove the no. In other words, he had to be willing to say yes. Do you trust God enough to say yes? Or do you think that the will of God is going to be bad for you? Do you think that if you give God a blank check, in other words, God, whatever you want to do, I'm willing. Do you think God's going to lead you into something that's going to be your worst nightmare, going to hurt you, going to mess up your life, going to take you somewhere where you didn't want to go? No. The will of God is the best place for you and me to be. The will of God is always good. The will of God is always good for you and for his kingdom. But the question is, do you trust in God? Because you see, if that trust element is gone, if you're lacking the trust, can you say trust? Trust. It all comes back to trust. If you lack trust, you're going to find yourself going off course. You're going to enter the minefields. And you have minefield mayhem. You see, there is no life outside of the perfect will of God. And we need to pursue that. Pursue the will of God, or we will not know his fullness. Look at this, 1 John 2:17. It says, and the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Say, abides forever. Those who do the will of God. But the lust is me. The lust is I want to. The lust is self. The lust is I want to go my way. But that's not what God has called us to live by. He's called us to lay down self. And the amazing thing is then you find life. That's the dichotomy of Christianity. As you lay down self, you find self. As you lay down self and your will, you find God and the will of God. Question. Who wants to know God like completely, like intimately, deeply? You want to know God. Okay. Obviously, everybody. But I wanted you to respond. But then you need to pursue the will of God. Because it's in the will of God that he provides all of himself. That's when that pipe becomes filled. God gives special grace to those who say yes. Can you say that? Yes. Yes. Say yes to God. Just say yes to God. Even if you don't know what the way is, say yes to God and trust him to lead you on the good road. Okay, so the target about this minefield mayhem. The enemy's target is our trust in God. the root of Christianity, the fundamental underlying principle, truth, whatever you want to call it, is trust. If you trust in God, the rest is going to work. If you lack trust, it's minefield. That's simply how it comes down, what it comes down to. It's minefields. And the enemy wants to do that. Such a small word, trust. So simple, but so hard to do. To trust. In essence, the assignment of the enemy against you and me will be to destroy our trust in God and His Word. That's the essence. That's the root. That's the core of every assignment and every deception that the enemy throws at us will be to not trust in God. It started Genesis 3, right at the beginning. This is where everything went wrong. The serpent, the devil, came to Eve and he accused God's character and God's word. And he said, basically, you can't trust in God. The serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. Yes, God said you shouldn't do that, but I'm telling you, you will not die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. You will be like God. So what the devil was saying, what the serpent was saying is, you cannot trust God. He's withholding something from you. You must take control of your life and you must make it happen. Because God is withholding from you. You can't trust Him. Okay, so that's where it all went wrong. That's where the sin entered this world, was when a person, Eve, didn't trust in God's goodness or in God's character or in God's word. So the devil was saying to Eve, God is not as trustworthy as you think. And he's keeping the good stuff from you when you obey his word. Don't be so old-fashioned. Come on, Eve, let's have some fun. Let's just step out there. This is, just get out there. Just do your own thing. It's going to be great. And it wasn't. But you see, the moment trust is broken, because that's what happened to Eve, she mistrusted God, we find ourselves disconnected from God. If you lack trust in God, you find yourself disconnected from God. If your trust is broken, you will find yourself going astray. That's what I see over and over again. The moment trust is broken, then we start walking our own way. Our own way. And in the end, we find ourselves in the minefield. One foot gets blown off, skipping along on the other foot. Other foot gets blown off, crawling, arm, shrapnel. Oh God, why do you do this to me? And then we curse God, or we get bitter or angry. And it never was God's will. Trust. Trust is an amazing thing, especially when it comes to trusting in God. You see, trust for a Christian is often, not always, but sometimes it is, in a sense, you're standing in the dark and you are not sure which way to go, but you just hear the voice of God, or just know the word of God is saying this way. But you can't see where this leads, but you just know that if I trust in God, I'm going to step into the light. And as you start walking that road, then you come to light. Then you step into that. Then you start seeing the good way, the good path. But trust. God's road doesn't look like the good road. It is the hard road. That's what it looks like, the hard one. And there's two. You've got the easy road. You've got the hard road. Most probably hard road, God's road. And that sounds like depressing, but it's not. It's on that hard road. God says, I'm going to be there for you. My presence is going to cover you. I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to give you joy. I'm going to give you strength. I'm going to empower you. I'm going to make it able that the hard road becomes a joyful road. The hard road becomes the good road. But it takes trust. It takes trust. It takes trust. when you are feeling lonely at night sometime and you are tempted to go out with some guys, but you know they're not going to be a good influence on you. They know, you know, probably going to drink too much, probably going to go to the wrong places. You're thinking about, I don't want to be lonely. So it looks like just simple. You just go with him. Gonna have some fun. And you look the other road, alone at home. And you think, this is miserable. The easy road, the hard road. Long term, the hard road becomes the good road. Phone up a Christian friend. Don't be alone. But I tell you, you will experience God's presence. I have found every time that I have given something in my life, every time I've sacrificed something, where good road, hard road, I choose hard road, I see God multiplying it back to me. Blessing upon blessing, goodness upon goodness, because the Bible says God is no man's debtor. If you give something to him, you say, God, I'm going to take this road because I love you. And I trust in you. Yeah, it seems as if I'm never going to get a wife, Lord. I'm 21. I was 19 when I said that to the Lord. Lord, I'm 19. I need to get a wife. I'm getting old. This is terrible. Can you trust that God will provide your needs and desires? Can you trust him? Or will you take things in your own hands and step into the minefield? It comes down to trust. Every person that's ever gone into a wrong relationship and they knew it was wrong only did that because they don't trust in God to provide for them, so they go for the next best thing. Can you trust that God will provide for you the one that is your best? Can you? Because it's going to come down to that. It does come down to trust. You see, it's easy to go off track. Divorce, I don't have that many married people here, but divorce often seems like the best and easy road. Just, it's not working. It's like miserable. So, I mean, let's just, cheers, let's go on. And then you go speak to the people who have been divorced twice or three times, and they tell you nightmare. They tell you nightmare. If I knew how bad this road is, I would have stuck. I would have fought for it. I would have given it my everything. Easy road, hard road. Hard road, it will cost you humility. It will cost you sacrifice. It will cost you humbling yourself. It will cost you forgiveness. It will cost you something, but the fruit that you will reap, it's worth it. It's worth it to stay pure before marriage because you reap for the rest of your life the blessings. And sometimes we work with those who didn't wait and they had sex before marriage and it's just a nightmare. Easy road, minefields. Minefields. Hard road, it is sweet, it is good, it is wonderful if you press on and press through. Proverbs 3, verse 5. I've been meditating this the whole week. This is so speaking to me. Trust in the Lord. Let's read that all together. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. With all your heart. With all your heart. With all your heart. With all your heart. And don't try and figure it out. Don't try and figure it out. Yes, you are so old and you don't see any possible woman on the horizon. But don't try and figure it out. Do you trust in God? Do you trust in God? How big is your God? How faithful is your God? How faithful is your God? I found my God to be so faithful. If I would position myself correctly and hold on to him, you reap good things. Lean not on your own understanding. Okay, so now we get to the good stuff. The bait of Satan. You see, it says with all your heart. If you trust in the Lord with all your heart, you're going to walk the good road. But if the enemy can get your heart divided, division in the heart, you're in trouble. Because then you're not trusting with all your heart. With all of your heart, you're going to go astray. So look at this. Luke 17, verse 1. Then he said to the disciples, that is Jesus, it is impossible that no offenses should come. Say impossible. Impossible. In other words, you're going to get an opportunity to be offended, or you're going to get an opportunity to be disappointed in life. It said guaranteed. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, says you will get an opportunity to be offended, disappointed, hurt, wounded. You're going to get an opportunity. And that word offense, that word is skandalon. Skandalon in Hebrew, which means laying a trap in someone's way. An entrapment used by the enemy. An entrapment used by the enemy. Offense or disappointment is a tool of the devil to bring people into captivity. Captivity, that's what he wants. He wants captivity in your heart. He wants you to be disappointed on some level or another. And what happens when you're brought into captivity, you will be led astray. You'll be led into those minefields because you are offended. Okay, offense comes when we have been treated unjustly or believe we have been treated unjustly. Offense comes when we have been treated unjustly. There's only two types of people that get offended. You have been legitimately been treated unjustly. Somebody really treated you badly. And the other one, you believe you have been treated unjustly, but it is not so. And the power of offense is that those closest to you hurt you the most. A spouse, a Christian friend, a leader in the church, that's when it hurts the most. Because you did not expect them to do this to you. This has knocked me off my horse quite a few times. I mean, kabam. You were merrily going along on your horse and suddenly like this big boulder ball thing comes and cheers. Ah, ow. You didn't see that coming. You didn't expect that from that person. This is really hurting me. And then you have a decision. Are you going to take the disappointment? You're going to take the trap? Are you going to take the bait of Satan? Because that's what it is. It's the trap the devil sets there in front of you. And then when it happens, he asks you, oh, that must hurt so badly. Huh? Oh, that's just wrong. How dare they do that to you? After everything you have done for them. Surely your husband should know better. I mean, you do all these things for him. Every day. And he's so ungrateful. Or whatever. The voices come. The voices come because they want you to take the offense to your heart. And then trouble follows. Look at this. Matthew 24. Remember the offense, the disappointment, if you hold on to it, it will lead you astray. It will lead you into the minefield. It will lead you into destruction in terms of your marriage, if it's in a marital relationship. Matthew 24, Jesus saying, the end times, many will be offended. Then many will be offended. Many, probably more than 50% of all Christians on the face of this planet, offended. Okay? Many. Many is more than 50%, I'd say. Will betray one another. It's a process that's happening. Yes, you must see it. Offended. Betrayal. And then it comes to will hate one another. The guys who do, the lawyers or attorneys who do divorce court stuff, they say it's the worst battles. Those who love one another the most hate one another the most at the end. Scary. Offense, betrayal, hatred. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. So because of the hurt, because of Christians being offended and hurt, they will become false Christians. They will become false prophets. They will be deceived and they will deceive others. And he says that because lawlessness will abound. Lawlessness, choosing your own road. Nobody's following God's road here. Just following our own road. Lawlessness, minefield mayhem. Lawlessness will abound. The love of many will grow cold. The love of many will grow cold. That word love is agape. That's Christian love. That's unconditional love. And it says the Christians, the unconditional love that Christians should have for one another will grow cold, and their love will become conditional and no longer unconditional. And I'm thinking, but that's like standard, Lord. Who loves unconditionally in any case? Anybody? Because I'm evaluating my heart. I'm thinking, sure, maybe sometimes. Yeah, but somebody hurts us, offends us, somebody's angry at us. Do we love them? No ways. No ways. Why? Because you're offended, you're hurt, and so you're protecting your heart. You're building these walls so you can't get hurt again. Walls. And so the love grows cold, and the offense goes to betrayal, to hatred. And the scriptures say that the man or woman, the Christian, that hates a brother does not know God. How about that? Does not know God. You don't know God then. I must be honest, I've been there. Angry, bitter. Many offended. Many offended. Do you know what happens? They put on different lenses. Everything they see, they filter through these lenses. Through their pain, through their hurt, through the stuff that happened in the past. And then they tell me, they're all hypocrites. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me. Thinking, that's not true. But you're offended. And it's harder to win an offended brother back than to, the Bible says, than to win a fortified city, a walled city. It's harder to win an offended brother back than taking a city that is guarded with huge walls. Because the offended person builds up these walls on the inside. I was this afternoon, I was thinking, no, Lord, I'm wonderful ministering this to other people. And I was found myself forgiving lots and lots of people. Going through the last year and a half since we've come here. All these names popping up. Oh, I forgive that one, Lord. 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 I thought I've dealt with that, didn't? Still somewhere there. How about you? Any offense, disappointment you're holding on to, somebody that you've not forgiven, still angry, bitter. You see, love unconditionally. Now, test your heart. Test your heart for a moment. Areas where you have loved or cared for, but now you've been disappointed, you've built walls, and you no longer love in that area. There's no trust anymore in terms of your trust in God, or maybe you don't trust the person, but so you're not going to love them. Your unconditional love has become conditional. Why? Because you've got hurt. Now this is the scary bit. Matthew 5:44. Because it seems so natural. Somebody's hurt you, so you're never going to trust them again. Which is fine. But should you love them? Should you love them? Matthew 5:44. Jesus speaking, but I say to you, love your enemies. No, Lord. I'm not even speaking about my enemy. I'm just speaking about my brother sitting next to me in the aisle next door there, whatever. My husband, my wife. Love unconditionally. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. No. Well, the Lord is saying yes. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And so I felt God speaking to me, and he's telling me, I want you to love to your own hurt. Because it comes down to this question. Do you trust in me? Can you trust in Almighty God to protect your heart? Can you trust in Almighty God to cleanse you and wash you and protect you? Or are you going to build a prison around your heart? Now, the walls will become your prison. And the Bible says that those who do not forgive, they will be handed over to the tormentors. Tormentors. Let me say that again. Tormentors. Torturers. When you do not forgive, you are willingly walking out into the minefield, and the mines are going to torture you. It actually says the demon spirits, torturers, will come to haunt you and torture you. And God allows it because he wants you to forgive. Because if you do not forgive, you might lose your own salvation. That's what it comes down to. It's very serious business. Very, very serious business. There is good news in this. The good news is that God wants you free. The good news is God doesn't want you to be in a prison in your heart. God doesn't want you to be so afraid of people hurting you that you actually build a prison which becomes your hell in this life. A person with all of those wounds and offenses in the heart, bitterness and anger, cannot know the love of God because it's a disconnect with God. You must read this book, The Bait of Satan by John Bevere, but he tells, there's a testimony of a man that he shares at the beginning of the book. And he says, a middle-aged man got up in one of his meetings, and the guy just started to weep as he started to share that he got The Bait of Satan, the book, and he started to read through it. And he says he's middle-aged, and he says, every time he comes to church, everybody else is experiencing God, but he doesn't. Everybody else is enjoying God, but he doesn't. And as he was reading through that book, there was this disconnect with God. But he says as he read this book and the teachings about offense, he says he realizes he needs to forgive his mother, who 36 years ago, when he was 6 months old, left him. And he hated her, despised her. And that brought a disconnect between him and God. And so he phoned her up, second time in 36 years that he speaks to her. And he said, Mom, I forgive you that you did this to me. And she said, I have hated myself for 36 years for doing this to you. Please forgive me. And so they reconciled, and his mom could forgive herself, and he could move on. And he says, he just cries like a baby in the presence of God now. Because it's restored between him and God. How many of us come to church and we do not connect with God because of unforgiveness, because of us struggling with some form of offense, and you don't even realize it. You don't know this. Just somehow it sits there at the bottom of your heart. You see, when you trust in God, we will know that when the Bible says, when you sow to the Spirit, you will reap to the Spirit. If you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life. What does it mean? That means if you go and you love somebody and they reject you, what do we normally do? We say, okay, now, whoa. Okay, I'm going to try once more. I'm going to love somebody. I'm not talking about guy, girl. No, I'm just talking about human love, caring for somebody, reaching out to. So you reach out to them again. You love them again. And they reject you. How many times will you do that before you just let it go? Some of us won't even try the first time because we're so wounded. Some of us once, twice, three times, and then say no more. Bible says love unconditionally. That means that when you sow love, you must have faith in this truth that when you sow, you will reap. If you sow love, you're going to reap love. Not necessarily from that person, but you're sowing it in the spirit. And so somehow, at some point in time, you're going to reap the love that you crave, but you must give it. And so I find so often people come to church and they so want friends and they so want to connect. And then somebody does something very silly and they, through their lenses, they assume they're being rejected. And so they leave church and they say, nobody loves me, but you're missing it. Come and love somebody. Go and love somebody. And keep on loving until you reap. Keep on loving until you reap. You must have faith in what? In God. That His word is true. And if you love unconditionally, you're going to receive a reward. Most of us don't do that, do we? Anybody in the house that does that? I can't raise my hand. Hand down. I can't raise my hand. But it's basic Christianity. It's basic Christianity. And I'm sharing this with you because this can really set you free. When we start stepping out, loving a difficult boss who steps on you time and time again, but you're going to love him. You're going to honor him. You're going to respect him or her. You can write your own area paradigm for where you find yourself. For me, it's hard sometimes to love when you've given so much of yourself and someone just turns their back on you and walk away. It's hard. But I know Christ has called me to love despite. Not be angry. Just love. So offended. Offended. We have been called to love to our own hurt, as I just said. Because it is the path. It is the good way. The hard way, but the good way. It is the path to freedom. Can you say freedom? It's when you will connect with God and your heart will be pure and clean and free. So offended, three things that happen to offended people or disappointed people that embrace that disappointment. The focus of offended Christians is inward and introspective, completely inwardly focused. And so this type of person, they guard their rights and their personal relationships carefully. The energy is consumed to not get hurt again. But the thing is, if we don't risk being hurt, we cannot give unconditional love. Unconditional love is saying, here I am, hurt me. That's what it says. That's what it says. Isn't that what Jesus did? He loved to his own hurt. He gave to his own hurt. They rejected, they despised, they even crucified in the end. But he just kept on loving. Even on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they're clueless. But I've come to show them the way. So the one is inward and introspective. Number two, it is impossible for them to trust God. They've been so hurt that they struggle to trust in God. For whatever, finances, future, spouse, healing, restoration, whatever it may be. Third, an offended Christian is one who takes in life, but because of fear, cannot release life. So they will come and they will receive and 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 receive, but they'll never be able to give. Just be dead on the inside. It's like barren ground. Barren ground. The good word can come and seeds can come in, but it's like dead ground. So it will not come out. There will not be any release of life. And I'm sharing this because I want us to evaluate ourselves. Where do you find yourself? John 16, 33. These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. That's Jesus. In me you may have peace. In Christ, not circumstances. In Christ you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. What does the word tribulation mean? It's an image of loose things, being like a stack of loose things being put there, and then pressure being applied. That's tribulation. Pressure. Jesus is saying you will have pressure. But hey, be of good cheer. Ha ha, Jesus. That sounds really funny. But really, it's possible. When you are in Christ, you have peace. When you are in Christ, you have joy despite your circumstances. When you are in Christ and He guards your heart, people can even be angry with you and ugly with you. That's not gonna affect you because you know you and Jesus. He is looking out for you. I'm almost finished. All things work together for good. Romans 8:28. Now, this is a good one. Lots of people like to quote this and declare it, and this is amazing. It says, we know. Can you say we know? And we know that all things, say all things. Okay, so not some things, all things work together for good. Say for good. For good. All things. What do you mean all things? Lord, my divorce. Yes. For good. My child's death. Yes. All things. All things. My cancer. All things. My pain and rejection. All things. My loneliness. All things will work together for good. In other words, God isn't causing it, but He can turn it around. He can turn it around. Just two things, two ingredients are necessary for God's supernatural hand to step in there and turn it around. Number one, to those who love God. And I want to actually turn that around. To those who know how much God loves them. Because you see, you can't love God unless you've received His love. You must first receive His love, and then automatically you're going to love Him back. All things will be turned to good for those who know how much God loves them, and then just loves Him back. And number two, those who are called according to His purpose. What does that mean? Everybody's called according to His purpose, but not everybody is living according to His will. So when you just, I don't know, most of us even don't know the will of God, but if you are just willing to do the will of God, I tell you, this starts working. Where you say, God, I so want to do Your will. I so want to follow You. I'm so tired of my own selfish ways. I want to know You and I want to follow You. Then this kicks in and God says, I'm going to turn this for good. Trust. That comes down to trust. Love and the will of God comes down to trust. Do you trust in God? Because if you trust in God, He can turn it all around. Even your sin and mistakes of the past, God can turn it around for His glory. But can you believe that? Can you trust in Him? Do you know how big your God is? And so this is where the challenge comes in. Surrender. Proverbs 3 verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In other words, don't try and figure it out. God, how is this going to work to your glory? It is a mess. Leave that up to God. Leave that up to God. You're breaking your head about nonsense. Do not lean on your own understanding. Say, God, I trust You with all my heart. Lord, that person really hurt me. I'm coming back for more. Because then I'm just coming back to You, Jesus. I just know I trust in You, Jesus. I just know You are able to guard my heart. I just know You are able to heal me. I know You are able to change me. I know You are able to carry me even when I'm crucified, Lord. When I surrender. Bless You. When you say, God, I trust in You, you are saying, God, I'm not going to build any walls. Because if you build walls, it's going to be your prison and you're going to suffer. Then do that. Protecting self is the obstacle to complete trust. If you try to protect self, you can't trust. You can't trust. And I see that over and over again, people trying to protect self, they build the walls, and along with that, put a few cannons, and they shoot people around them because they're trying to protect themselves, but they're hurting the people around them as well. Protecting self is the obstacle to complete trust. Worship team, guys, can come so long. It's one or two points I want to share. So what is self all about? Self, it's about control. 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 Because we do not trust in God, we try to maintain control. Ladies, if you're married, it's sometimes hard to trust in God and to listen to your husband. It's hard. And then you can take control and it can cause damage because you're not trusting in God to turn the heart of your husband. Who do you trust? Your ability to control or God's ability to give you peace and joy and turn somebody's heart? Can you surrender? So self needs to die. I know it sounds miserably depressing. It's the most glorious thing that can happen to a person is when you're not stressed and worried and freaked out and you can't sleep at night and you're worried, afraid because self is reigning. Can you surrender self at the foot of the cross and say, Jesus, I believe you love me. I believe you're my provision. And I believe you're going to turn all things for good. Even when it doesn't look so good. Galatians 6, verse 9, last scripture. It says, let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. If you do not lose heart, if you do not lose heart, this is hard. If you do not lose heart, if you consistently faithful to God and you just come to Him and say, God, help me, and you just allow His goodness to flow through you. You can't love in your own strength. We can't love unconditionally by our own ability. It's impossible. But God is able to do that in you. If He says, love your enemies, then surely He's going to give you the strength to do so. Don't take the bait. Don't take the offense. Don't take it to heart. Because you will lose heart. You'll get a divided heart. And you will walk yourself into the minefield. Destruction upon destruction. And you're going to blame God and say, God, where were you? Where were you? And you left the path. Okay, so I want us to spend some time just to bring our hearts before the Lord. Just allow the word to sink in. And I just want us to respond to that. Anybody that you need to forgive. Anybody that you need to release. Any walls in your heart that is your prison. Fear. Lack of trust. Or maybe you're disappointed in God. And you need to realize it wasn't God. You walked away. You walked into the minefield. Let's just close our eyes. Father, we thank you. God, I thank you that you love us so much. And I thank you, Lord, that right now, your Spirit is shining upon our hearts. Right now. Your Holy Spirit is shining upon our hearts. Lord, I pray that you'd reveal unforgiveness. People that we are angry with, disappointed in. Father, we pray that you would reveal to us bitterness and fear in relationships and therefore walls around our hearts. Jesus Christ, we bring before you now your precious people. And we pray that you will come and bring liberty here, that we may love unconditionally, that we may live freely, that we may trust in you like never before. Thank you, God, for conviction by your Holy Spirit right now. The light shining. The light shining. The light shining upon our hearts. And the grace to surrender to your work in us. If you realize that there is somebody that you need to forgive, would you just stand? Just stand. I just want you to deal with the Lord right there where you're going to stand now. God, we worship you. Maybe there's disappointment in your heart, disappointment towards God, disappointment. Maybe even with yourself. Also, just stand. I just feel in my heart that some of you, some of us, we need to forgive ourselves. We need to forgive ourselves. Just take this moment and forgive yourself. Because Jesus forgives you. Thank you, Lord God, right now, Lord, just forgiveness to flow forth into the hearts of your people. Forgiveness. Release. Release in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for the walls to come down. The fears, the torment, the prison. In the name of Jesus, be set free. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Just take a moment now, just where you're standing, just speak under your breath and just forgive by name, saying, Father, I forgive that one for this, and Father, I forgive that one for that. Father, forgive, just softly, just under your breath. Not in your mind. You need to at least breathe it, because otherwise you're just thinking about prayer. You speak it. Just softly, just say it. Thank you, God. Just feel God's going to open blocked wells. It's going to open blocked wells. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, let it be. Let it be those things that have caused a block in our spirit, God. Cause us to struggle to connect with you. Thank you for a release right now. A release right now. Forgive because you have been forgiven. Jesus has forgiven you all your sin. He's forgiven you $1 billion debt. Why would you hold it against somebody if they owe you $1,000 or 1,000 rand? Jesus has forgiven you $1 billion. $1 billion. He's washed you clean. God, we worship you. Let your kingdom come in our hearts. We can just feel the presence of God here. Just working in our hearts. Just be open to that. Just be open to that right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I just feel God is releasing some of you right now into His love. Because if there's unforgiveness, it's so hard to receive the love of God. Lord, so we release your people into your love. We release your people into your goodness. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Thank you, God, that as we forgive, as we release, you release grace to us, empowerment to us, peace to us, joy to us, Lord God. Hallelujah. How great is our God. How great is our God that He would come and help us to break down the walls around our hearts. Just give that disappointment to God. Just give it to Him. Give those walls to Him. Give that fear to Him. Hallelujah. So a question for us. Do you want to trust in God completely? That's all that God requires. Just a willingness, a wanting to. Can I ask that if you struggle to trust in God, but you want to, you just raise your hand, just a sign, you can see who I should pray for. Hallelujah. Okay, I just feel that's why the Lord says you need to surrender to His love, you need to surrender to His goodness, and He's going to build into you that trust. Let's all stand. I just want us to end off with a prayer. I just want us to feel that we should pray a prayer of surrender to God. If you want to pray with me, please join me. If you feel that you don't want to do that, that's fine. But it's just a prayer to surrender to His love, to His goodness, and to His kindness. So if you want to pray with me, just pray that audibly. And say, Father God, I thank you that you love me so much. And I hear tonight that you are calling me to yourself. To trust in you and to surrender to you. So, Lord, here I am. Lord, I call to you. Save me from myself, from my fears, from my doubts, from my lack of trust in you. Lord, I surrender my life. My mind, my heart, my body, my future, my finances, my relationships. Lord, I surrender it all to you right now. Simple prayer. But God, I thank you that you hear every prayer, especially a prayer like this. Father, we thank you, God, for the prayers that have been prayed now. And we thank you for liberty in this house, Lord, for the love of Christ to flood our hearts. Lord, that the walls will be removed and we'll be healed, be restored, be cleansed, be set free. and then love one another and the people out there with the love of Jesus Christ. Even if they reject us, Lord God, even if they don't like us, Lord God, we're going to sow love because we're going to reap love if we sow it faithfully. And so, Lord, we thank you that you give us the faith, the courage, the trust to love even those whom we have despised previously. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I just feel in my heart that the Lord is saying that when we love like that, when we love like unconditionally, people are going to see Christ in us. They're going to see Jesus. And the amazing thing is they will truly see Jesus, because Jesus will come and live in you more than you've ever known. More than you've ever known. He will inhabit your heart. He will inhabit your life. He will inhabit every facet of your being when you choose to love like He does. And so, Father, we pray you will show us where to love, God, our neighbor, somebody at school that we don't like, somebody at work that we don't like, a boss that is hard on us. Lord, show us how to love. Pure, Christ-like love. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I so want to encourage you, if there's anybody here tonight and you know that you've gone astray from Jesus, you've walked away from Him in some way or another, I want to encourage you to commit your life to Him tonight. Just come and speak to me maybe afterwards, or yeah, just come and speak to me. So I want to encourage you. Commit your life to the one, the only one that can truly help you, truly make a difference, truly carry you. Okay. Hallelujah. God loves you so much. If there's anybody that needs prayer, also please come forward. We'll pray with you.